Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and my guest on the podcast today is Dr. Dovi Prero of Prero Orthodontics in Los Angeles. Dr. Prero is an unusual guest for this podcast, but a special one of interest to many families of actors, and even adult actors, contemplating braces or other orthodontic treatments. He's a member of the California Association of Orthodontists. Dr. Prero, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Bonnie, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. Orthodontics can be necessary for performers at any age and not just kids. And the many questions that surround how to manage treatment while auditioning and filming can cause a lot of confusion and anxiety. So, Dr. Prero, you've worked with many industry professionals, both children and adults. But I imagine there's some different concerns depending on where an actor is in their career, as well as their age and the nature of the treatment that they need.
You know, you bring up a really good point to start. When we have children or adults that are going to be on screen, the first thing that comes to their mind is that they'd like to make their smile really nice. You know, very often I have actors that come in at the end of the treatment, and they say that having a nice smile has helped them become more confident. It helps them say their lines better. It helps them perform better on screen. And they feel like they get more success in their career. Having that smile is just as challenging to get there. So we want to make sure that we're getting them an aesthetic outcome. But also the process is an aesthetic process, right? We have goals that we want to have them have good function, a good bite, and that when we put the teeth where they are, they'll stay that way and give them an awesome smile on camera. But the process of getting there sometimes isn't as glamorous or doesn't look great on the camera, and so we have to think of other ways to be able to execute that, to get that done for them.
That's a great point. You know, when what you're after is the outcome, we all know what that looks like, but the in-between part, the process, right, is its own thing. So let's backtrack a tiny bit. First of all, who should people seek out for orthodontic treatment? When they know it's time, they need to do something, they want to do something, where do they look? Where should they look?
It's an excellent question. So if you want orthodontic treatment, if you want to move your teeth, again, orthodontic treatment, you go to an orthodontist. Now, a great resource to get to an orthodontist is the California Association of Orthodontics. They have an awesome website with some phenomenal material on what to expect and how to approach an orthodontic consultation. Their website is caortho.org, again, like California, caortho.org, and that'll help find you an orthodontist here in California. And they have a locator on the top of their screen that you just type in your zip code and it'll give you a list of the qualified orthodontists in the area. So orthodontic treatment, you're moving your teeth, you want to see an orthodontist.
Okay, that's really helpful because, I mean, especially, you don't necessarily, I mean, like, they're everywhere. It's like, how do you know which ones are good? So the people who belong to the CAO, they're vetted in some way.
You have to be a member of the organization. And they also have some great resources on the website, and then that locator allows them to find you. In addition to an orthodontist, you always would like to see what the other people say about them. So you can ask a friend or a family member. And then also look at online reviews nowadays on Yelp or Google reviews or Facebook reviews. That's a chance for authentic people to give their authentic opinion. So if you find a referral or you find from caortho.org, you can find an orthodontist in the neighborhood. And then, you know, use that name, go ahead and look at their reputation online. And then that helps you make a decision about where to go.
That's smart. I like that. Well, let's start with the classic situation of a young actor who's just starting in the industry, and they definitely need braces, but they're worried about all the obvious issues, right? The headshots, the getting auditions, and then getting cast. What do you recommend for someone like this? Especially, well, let's just start with that classic situation.
Okay, great. So when you're getting started, going back to what we said before, is that I don't want my patients to sacrifice the aesthetic option while they're going for our aesthetic and functional outcome. No sacrifice in my office, which means that we provide that aesthetic process with wonderful options. So my practice focuses on clear braces or Invisalign clear aligners, or braces behind the teeth that you can't see.
That's amazing. I didn't know you could even do that.
Yeah, it's having a resurgence, and I think we'll have a chance to talk about that more in specific.
Yeah.
But in terms of those three options, patients will have that opportunity to get their smile done right, looking good while they're doing it, and feeling confident.
So it doesn't have to interfere with that whole process, which is a very aesthetically driven process.
Right.
You know, your headshot is the first thing a casting director looks at or an agent looks
right.
at. And so you can be going through treatment without having that be sort of the first thing that might not even be noticeable.
Exactly. And let's talk about timeline. You know, I think it's very important to express to your orthodontist that, hey, you know, we're going to be doing some on-screen acting, or we're going to be doing headshots or interviewing or casting or hopefully getting some callbacks or a lot of callbacks. And there are some things that you might want to express to the orthodontist that you may anticipate. Number one, you know, the change in schedule. Sometimes scheduling is going to happen where the director or casting director might call you back and say, we need you to read this one more line, or we need you to come back and audition again. And the orthodontist and the office should be aware of that and know that, okay, you may have these kind of concerns, and this is, you know, for the livelihood of the child and for their success in their career future, or the adult actor too. And so having that orthodontist on board from day one is great, because that way they know their expectations, the patient knows the expectations, and then if you know something, then you can be aware to accommodate it. So number one, I think, is the schedule. Number two, you want to make sure that you let them know if there's a timeline. So maybe you're getting some headshots and then there's going to be a break before you start auditioning. So you could plan, say, you know what, let's do some orthodontic treatment after our headshots are done, in order to make it so that they're done in a very presentable way without any appliances at all.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding that we still can use awesome approaches and techniques in order to get the smile looking great, even when you're in orthodontic treatment. You know, you bring up the concern of being on camera, and we had a patient that not only in front of the camera how they look is important, but also how they sound.
Oh, that's huge, because sometimes appliances can make your tongue just trip all over everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
It is, and it'll prevent the enunciation. Like we said before, then they, and as an actor, will get off their game psychologically. It'll affect their performance on screen, and also a big component is this, how they sound. So we had one patient that had a narrow upper jaw, and we needed to do an expander. An expander is, you know, the upper jaw is made up of two pieces that fuse together as we get older. But at the young age, we have the opportunity to make room.
How young? That's amazing.
So you want to see, in general, you want to see an orthodontist at age 7.
Okay.
Age 7 is the baseline. We don't necessarily do anything, and often we don't. But that way it gives the baseline of what their teeth and jaws are, but not only what you see, they'll also be able to take a radiograph or an x-ray and see what's going on under the bone and gums in order to see how the teeth are erupting. And very often, having that baseline and understanding where the teeth are coming from and going to can give the orthodontist more insight on any intervention that would need to be done in order to make the experience easier and faster later. Especially if they're going to be on screen, it's a great thing to have.
That makes so much sense, because actually, I mean, like, it's true that not everybody even has all their adult teeth come in. And if you know that's going to happen, you can plan around that. Like, there's surprises sometimes that
yeah.
probably can catch.
You know, we talk about, like, the canine teeth, which are those eye teeth, the ones in the corner that are really big. And sometimes, you know, the forefront teeth come in really beautifully, and they give them a great on-screen look. And then the canines will come in a little wonky. They'll come in towards the other teeth, too far in or too far out. And having that baseline and knowing when to intervene to allow those teeth to erupt in their right place can actually save you from orthodontic treatment or an extended orthodontic treatment later on. So we had that patient that had come in and had that expander in her mouth. Mom had texted me and said, hey, we have the audition tomorrow. Now I'm comfortable with, you know, my patients contacting me, because that's the service that I'm proud to provide. After all, you know, we're in Beverly Hills and we enjoy catering to our patients.
Well, you have a lot of people in the industry come to you, right?
Yeah, especially in the neighborhood.
Right.
So the mom had mentioned, oh, we have this audition tomorrow. She's having trouble getting used to this. Is there any other option that we can do? I said, absolutely, which is usually my answer for everything.
That's a good answer. We like that answer.
So we were able to take out the expander. We tried it because we preferred it initially because it was going to be more effective. But if it's going to interfere too much in their career and in their audition, we said, okay, great. Well, we have another tool in our toolbox. And that's what about being an orthodontist is that we have so many tools in our toolbox to use to get to that wonderful smile. So what we did is we took out the expander that was cemented in, which means that it was in the mouth, not being able to take it in and out. And we used something called a removable expander, which for that patient was able to leave it in, even maybe while she was practicing her lines, probably even exercised. It was helping her exercise her enunciation better.
Never a bad idea.
And then after that, when she went on screen or ready for her lines in front of the camera or the director, she popped it out and had no problems at all. And mom was very appreciative. And maybe, you know, we should have anticipated that from the beginning. But, you know, I thought that a lot of my patients have the expander that is cemented and were able to speak very clearly. But with her, especially in front of the camera, she wanted to not be inhibited or think about that. And that's common.
And maybe if she'd had it in for a month, she would have gotten used to it. But if it was something that happened in short order, you know.
Right. And I think we did have it planned, but then the director said, oh, we want her back. And then we just accommodated her because it was that kind of last minute with opportunity, which happens and which we're excited for our patients to have because that's what makes them successful.
Exactly. And that is exactly how it works in the industry. Everything is last minute. Yeah, everything's sure, like, you know, wait a minute,
we're getting used to that, but I'm sure that's been your life of, you know, coaching all the talent and everything that you do.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know what I'm hearing, which is really cool. And I don't know why I never thought about this before, but it sounds to me like the orthodontist is basically part of the team. I mean, I think of the team for an actor as, you know, certainly parent, but, you know, agent, manager, you know, whoever else is on the team, lawyer, maybe PR, mm-hmm. maybe. But in a way, adding your orthodontist to it isn't crazy in terms of how to think about how big your team is and who's on it and who's helping.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing point, you know, especially for child or adult actors, having your medical staff is an important part of it. Being in your tip-top shape gets your head in the game. It makes you feel good and gives you just at least the ability to perform. So pediatrician and your internal medicine doctor as an adult gives you the baseline for that health. And then also for the health and function of your teeth, having that orthodontist there really allows you to give your best smile forward.
Mm, that's so cool. Well, so now headshots. This is a place of great anxiety, and we've kind of covered this a little bit, but if a kid doesn't have braces in the headshot but then has them in real life, the whole idea of headshots generally is like, you should look like your headshot. Mm-hmm. So you could take the headshot without the braces, or you could take it with whatever you've got going on, like mm-hmm. maybe the Invisalign or maybe the you know, the braces behind or something. Mm-hmm. Like what is your sort of your baseline recommendation around great. That? We covered that a little bit, but
so for headshots, the first thing I like to do is to ask mom or the actor themselves if they have any spaces in their teeth, if they're missing a tooth, because sometimes orthodontic treatment is necessary in order to move the teeth around to get them in the smile, but sometimes they don't even have all their teeth yet in.
Right, depending on the age or whatever.
Right, if they're 6 or 7 and they have a headshot coming up, and the director says, well, we need a kid with a full smile. Now, of course, I think that I'd love to see kids with braces in TV and film. I'd love to see kids with missing teeth or gaps in their teeth because that's authentic. That's real.
That's real, yeah.
But I don't run the show.
You're not casting?
We're not casting, but we're sensitive to those concerns. And so, you know, I think we can give them the solution to those problems. So sometimes even making just a little retainer that has a tooth to replace the one that's missing. So it might be just for a few months where the baby tooth came out, the adult tooth that's on its way in, we can go ahead and what people would call a flipper or a retainer. They wear it on the inside of their mouth, and then it connects to a tooth on the front. No wire shows, no metal shows. And it gives them that appearance of a full smile. And then they can continue to wear that even on screen so that there is continuity between the headshot that they've taken and how they appear in front of the director. So that's kind of the first baseline I see, is like, if there's a missing tooth and the actor feels that it's necessary to fill that space, mm-hmm. then we can do a flipper. So in those cases where they don't have all their teeth yet, a flipper is a great option. And sometimes we can even make like a clear retainer also that has a tooth in it. So either it's based on from the inside of the teeth, or one that kind of like looks like a mouth guard, but in the mouth guard itself is clear and has another tooth in it. So there's a couple options in that scenario. But when we talk about different options, I like to focus on, like we said, the three major ones. We have clear braces, we have the Invisalign, which is the clear aligners, and then the braces behind the teeth. And very often, with clear braces, and we use also tooth-colored wires, we're able to get a good aesthetic process. But more common is choosing less of the braces and more of the Invisalign mm-hmm. that you wear, or the braces on the inside of the teeth, because those cannot be seen.
Right.
One thing to point out is that we've talked about this before of how they look, but how they sound. So the braces on the inside of the teeth, that is something that usually takes, we talk to the patient, to the actor, and ask them about their concerns about it. If they do feel like braces on the inside of the teeth, especially on the bottom, can sometimes interfere with the tongue space and enunciation, so that puts a constraint on us using that option. Braces behind the teeth are wonderful. We take a digital scan of their teeth. We actually, the braces are custom made for them, and the wires are custom made for them. We have a lot of patients that really enjoy that process because it's efficient. It's really aesthetic. And sometimes they can, you know, you can hear like a little lisp or a sound. We put some braces on the top teeth on a patient that just finished with us. He had no problem with performing and even getting the role. He happened to say that once it was done with treatment, he felt a little more confident without having them on, because even though no one could tell, he could tell, and that got his mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if clear braces don't work because they can actually see them, and then if the lingual braces on the inside of the teeth don't work because they feel like you can hear them, then it's a removable option, like we came across before, like just like that removable expander. Mm-hmm. So a removable option leads us to the Invisalign, the clear aligners.
So you can take those out when you're on camera and otherwise have them in and be going forward.
Exactly.
With your treatment.
So it's the best of both worlds. It's an aesthetic option, has total control of the teeth, and then when we need it off, we pop them off.
So let's talk more about Invisalign, because in my memory, in my experience, it seems like it was designed traditionally for adults, but can it work for teenagers?
The short answer is yes, but I'll tell you why. There's been amazing advancements in the technology, and Invisalign has come a long way. So in the past 10, 15 years, it first started, and now it's become a very robust appliance. Its strength is wonderful, and we can actually get very similar, if not the same, outcome than compared to traditional braces. The common misconception is that it doesn't work for teenagers, or it can't correct the overbite, or it can't correct crowding. And Invisalign is a tool. It's just another one of the tools in the pocket of the orthodontist that allows us to get to that final outcome. And orthodontists now are being very creative with Invisalign, so it's very doctor-driven. You want to go to a doctor that takes control of it. Invisalign is a tool, but it has to be used by an orthodontist in order to get you to the right outcome. So Invisalign has a few benefits that are just wonderful. Because it's removable, it allows the kids to be able to brush and floss their teeth.
Oh, that's huge.
So there's no build, there's less buildup on the teeth. A lot of our children or adults, especially the actors, they're motivated. They're doing homeschool. They're getting everything done. And sometimes those great habits continue with the personal hygiene of getting their hair combed, their makeup done, and their teeth all in order and clean.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, you know, our kids in braces, there's just more buildup on the teeth, and you have to get the cleanings done more often. We like our patients to be seen every 3 months by their dentist in order to get the cleaning. That's regardless, no matter what they're doing. But the buildup on the teeth and the practicing the brushing is sometimes that falls to the leeway or actually becomes harder with something glued on your teeth.
In my experience, it is harder.
As a mom of
people who've had braces, yes, exactly. It's harder.
So one of the amazing benefits about Invisalign and clear aligners is that it allows them to take them off and brush their teeth and floss. So it gets the teeth really clean. Another wonderful benefit is the fact that they can eat whatever they want. Remember, I'm sure you had the kids when they had their wires and brackets. It's not terrible, but you know, once in a while it'll happen. A wire will come loose and poke or be uncomfortable. And we never have a poking wire when we're using Invisalign.
Yeah, no, the poking wires were literally like the bane of my children's lives. Because they had traditional braces. And, you know, I mean, Dove's 21 now, so we're talking 10 years ago for
right.
sure with my youngest one. And there was a long list of food that you weren't allowed to eat also. So that's a big deal when you're a kid.
Exactly. And with Invisalign, there is no food restriction. We want to make sure, of course, that they don't put on their aligners and drink like some sugary drink because then it just, the teeth soak in sugar, which is, I think it's kind of obvious, but we always go over that with our patients. But in general, they can pop their aligners out, eat and drink whatever they want, rinse, brush, hopefully, and floss, and pop their aligners back in. And then when they get on the screen, just pop them out and smile big. And sometimes, actually, our patients choose to leave the aligners in because they give sometimes like a nice little gloss to the teeth, which just looks awesome on camera.
It's crazy. I was out with an adult friend recently, like very recently, and we were sitting right next to each other and talking. And out of the blue, she said, "Did you know I have braces?" I said, "No." I mean, I was staring straight at her mouth. I couldn't tell. And it must have been Invisalign.
Yeah.
It was astonishing to me.
You know, they always improve on their technology in terms of the aesthetic, in terms of the material that they're using. And a lot of patients, like, for example, I'm thinking of another young man who was in aligners, and he had an audition, and he's like, you know what, I'm going to keep them in because they form fit very nicely to the teeth. And actually, he had a little space in front of his teeth, but with the aligners, you couldn't see that space because it occupied it and it kind of glossed over. So
that's crazy.
Having those options there, it's almost like they actually choose to put the appliance in order to get a better aesthetic even while they're in it.
While they're in it, while they're in treatment. So now, sometimes kids need braces for several years. I mean, I think that's pretty typical. So is it realistic to think that they can still be cast in commercials, film, and TV while they're wearing some kind of orthodontic treatment? We've covered this. They can take the orthodontics out in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So is that maybe just the primary, the best choice if they're going to be doing something continually?
Yeah, I think, you know what, in terms of like being cast and then being on screen, I think directors in general are pretty aware of the age appropriateness of having braces, but sometimes having like the clear braces option is nice. So even if they have something glued onto their teeth, it's still, you know, maybe from a few feet away. We have another patient that she was in yesterday. We're closing up space, and we needed a little more strength, and she wanted to do clear braces. She said she hasn't gotten any pushback from the casting director. She's in pageants. She's in film and TV. I think even with some Disney stuff. And I asked her, I said, "Have you gotten any pushback from your agent or the directors?" And they say, "No, no problem at all." They're always asking, "When are these coming off?" But that's, kids are usually excited about getting them on, and then the first question they ask about is when they're coming off. But it is, I think, in terms of the age appropriateness of it, it's kind of like I wouldn't say a fashion statement, but it's appropriate for the age. So sometimes, like, we're going crazy about having them be a certain look, when really the directors will be acceptable of it.
Yeah, well, you know, to me it kind of goes back to the whole conventional wisdom around headshots in general. I mean, kids should look like kids. Headshots are not glamour shots.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are cast to look like kids. They're not cast to look like mini adults,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, you know, if you see a little bit of orthodontic stuff around the edges, most people are not going to be thrown by that. But
right.
It sounds like there's a lot of really good options now besides the ones that my kids had 10 years ago where your real choice was what color rubber band
exactly.
you might put on all that silver metal
exactly.
in your mouth.
it's very true. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we'll put those clear braces on the kids' teeth in order to give them the best aesthetic outcome. And then they'll go ahead and put the colors on top of the clear braces. I happen to like it because, you know, that way they get to choose their colors actually stand out brighter, which just shows that they're excited about the treatment in general. And in our office, we don't charge more for braces. We don't charge more for Invisalign. It's more of like the fee itself, the treatment option is what's important. And we'll get you there whichever way you want.
Oh, that's huge. That's great.
And then, you know, we talked about sometimes we can combine a little bit of braces and then switch them to Invisalign. So sometimes what we'll do is if there's a really rotated tooth or it's really wonky or it's really crowded, sometimes we can put some braces on temporarily and get those rotations out, get the teeth starting to line up, and then switch into Invisalign.
So because the traditional braces, even if they're invisible or tooth-colored or behind or whatever, they're going to make a faster result than the Invisalign probably, right?
You know, sometimes it's that specific movement that's a little more challenging. So the timeline might be the same, but the challenging movement might get a little more predictability by using the braces.
First.
So sometimes we do braces first. We have a lot of patients where we'll do braces for maybe 2 or 3 months and then switch them into Invisalign after we've gotten some of the harder movements out. And then, you know, having Invisalign also the benefit of the fact that, think of it as follows. Like an SAT analogy. So the wire is what actually moves the teeth when we have braces and wires. The wire itself is moving the teeth. And so I like to think of the aligner, what some people might call the tray or the retainer that's from Invisalign, is a clear aligner. And that aligner is what is similar to the wire. So aligner is to wire.
Got it.
So they're switching the aligner. The way it works is that we take a digital impression of their teeth and then we stage all the movements. So if there's, let's say, 20 steps of movement that need to be done, we'll make them an aligner for every step of the way.
Whoa.
And they change that in the convenience of their own home. So think about it as follows. Like your kids, you brought them to the orthodontist, and then they went ahead and they changed the wire every month, or they tightened the wire every month. Now we have the ability to program from the beginning the movement, and then we'll give them 5 aligners. But they change the aligner in the comfort of their own home or while they're on set. So they'll wear it for a week or two and then go into the next one. So I don't need to see them every 2 weeks. I don't need to see them every 4 weeks. Sometimes we go 6 weeks or even longer. And if they're not in my office, that means they'll be able to be out in front of the camera or auditioning. And that gives you, as mom, a lot more leeway in terms of saying, we're happy with the orthodontist. We love him. And we're excited about the process, but we don't want to spend our whole afternoon there every month.
That's actually huge. I mean, especially for kids who are going off and shooting movies or something. Sometimes movies take a couple of months to shoot. And if you've got a traditional, you know, wire thing going on and you need to have them tightened every, you mm-hmm. know, X weeks or whatever, that's problematic. You know, you're off in Canada or something right. shooting this movie. You can't be flying back and forth.
You're absolutely right. And we have a lot of patients. I have patients that... a young man who's studying in Berkeley, and then he just comes back every few months and he sends me a text message of a picture of how his teeth look with the aligners in, and I track him that way. There's another young man who's in New Jersey in college, and then the patient that came in yesterday, she said that she's going to be going to Asia for 3 months and wants to know what kind of orthodontic treatment that we do. And for those, especially those cases, Invisalign empowers the orthodontist in order to provide that highest quality of treatment at the convenience and comfort of the patient, allowing them to continue on with their life, being monitored by a trained professional orthodontist, and then to have a successful outcome.
Oh, that's, my kids would be so jealous of that. We did our stuff back in the Stone Age. So you were talking about new technology, and that just sort of sparked a little question. Is there much in the age? I mean, there's obviously some great braces options that mm-hmm. weren't available 10 years ago. But what are the new technologies? What are the changes in the industry? Like, I'm thinking about those horrible, uncomfortable impressions that my kids had to go through mm-hmm. to, like, model what their teeth looked like. That was an awful experience. Is there something better than that now?
In short, yes.
Yay, Dobby! Thank you! What's the option?
So you make a great point. We very often need to make a copy of your teeth in order to make an appliance that fits perfectly for you.
Yeah, you have to model
and,
that, right?
And the way they used to make the model or the mold is they used to use like an alginate, which is, we used to talk about it like Play-Doh, and put it in the teeth of the patient in the mouth, and that would make a duplicate of their exact teeth. And then if we need to put braces on it, or we needed to make a retainer or a flipper, then we could make it from that. But what we have now is called something called an intraoral scanner, which is almost like it's a 3D video camera that all you do is it just comes on a small wand, and you just place it in the mouth and guide it through, and you take a 3D picture of your teeth, essentially like an iPhone that you use, but it has a nice little flash, and it takes a 3D picture of your teeth.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's really powerful. Our scanner, the one that we have in our office, is called the iTero Element. We were one of the first people in the neighborhood that had it. It came out just a couple years ago, and they update it all the time. And the scanner gets faster. And what's nice about it is we'll do this scan on every patient. So they come in, and we get them scanned. Now, I have a little background in education, so I love taking that opportunity during the first consultation to explain to the patient what is their mouth like, which teeth are here, which teeth are going to go, which teeth are staying, which teeth are not in yet, or which teeth are we're waiting for to come in. And we can do that all on the screen of this scanner. So we take the scan, takes about a little more than 2 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. And after that, we have, number one, we have the model of the teeth. So from an education perspective, I can show mom or the adult, we can show them what their teeth look like. Then, very often, they can point us out what they don't like about their teeth. And for me to understand from their perspective, because my whole practice is driven around what does the patient want.
That's everything.
And I will help guide them and help their decision-making, but essentially I work for the patient. And understanding what they want and seeing it on screen allows them to illustrate to me what the improvements in their smile they want. There are textbook ideals that I discuss with the patient that we can achieve, but it's also their input is so important to me because that's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So the scanner allows us to put all that information on the touch screen, and then I can show them not only how their teeth look, but I manipulate the teeth in order to show them a simulation of how it's going to look when they're done. And that becomes
so
very powerful.
Cool.
And then they can say, you know what, I really like that. Or they say, you know, Adobe, can we change this a little bit? Or this is what I was thinking. Or sometimes, you know, we can correct the overbite all the way, the horizontal overbite. And sometimes I say, you know, this is the limitation of maybe an overbite correction based on the nature of the bones and things like that. So it allows for us to discuss, and not only in general terms, and not only I show them pictures of other people that I treated, but I can show them their exact teeth in the outcome that they'd like. And that becomes powerful, but it also becomes educational, allowing them to understand the process and how the teeth are going to move. And surprisingly nowadays, patients are very educated. They know a lot about orthodontic treatment before they walk in. And so seeing that on the screen helps them make their decision.
That is so cool. So no more nasty trays full of goop that makes you just miserable for however long it takes to set.
Yeah. And then instead of, you know, what we used to do is we used to have the goop and then make a model off of it.
Right.
The lab would have to come.
It took time.
And pick it up and bring it to the laboratory. Now I email the model to the lab, and then they can make the appliance faster and then deliver it. So it becomes more efficient. I would say even a little more green, eco-friendly, because mm-hmm. we're not using that material.
Mm-hmm.
Even though on the lab side, they have to print up the model at some point to make it. But it cuts down a few steps, and it's faster for the patient. And also with Invisalign, because the iTero Element Scanner is part of the suite of software that the Align Technology owns, it's fully integrated with our Invisalign system. And so patients that choose us for their Invisalign and we use the scanner get their aligners back faster. And we've also noticed that they fit better than when we used to use the other alternative.
I was going to say, I bet it's a little more precise.
Yes, it absolutely can be when using the right, you know, the technology sometimes can get in our way, but we want to make sure that we actually, when we use it accurately, we do see better outcomes. And we can track that outcome too. So I can take a scan in the middle of treatment. Let's say a patient starts with aligners, and then I can take a scan in the middle of treatment and see how the movements that I, as the orthodontist, have planned, have they executed so far? Are there any other corrections, you know, mid-course that we need to make in order to get that smile perfect?
That's amazing. That is so cool. Mm-hmm. And slightly different issues for actors who are already working steadily. So, for example, if your character is a serious regular on a TV show, what do you do then if the actor needs braces suddenly while the show is filming, because some shows film for a number of years. So I'm thinking about some young child actors mm-hmm. or adult actors who are just like, maybe they get hit in the face with a baseball or something. Right. You know, stuff happens.
Yeah. You know, sometimes patients can chip a tooth or lose a tooth. When we're thinking about it, when they're in the middle of a show, if they've gotten the actor ready, then usually the director is okay with the way they look now.
Mm-hmm.
But those things happen, and so we can fix chipped teeth. We can fix missing teeth, like with a flipper, like we mentioned before, with a retainer that goes on. And so those kind of options are very good, even from an immediate, like, same day type of fix.
Emergency fix.
If they've had a rotation on their teeth, it's probably less urgent that it needs to come out. You know, maybe for their Halloween costume, they want a gnarly rotation, and we can make them a retainer that would enhance that, or maybe give them a rotation look, a really crooked smile. But for most of it, it's either they know that they've planned it before, or if there's something that needs to be a quick fix. We also work with a lot of talented dentists that are sensitive to the urgency mm-hmm. of this type of work, and so our team together really does far and beyond, goes all the way to make sure our patients are taken care of.
So this may be outside of your expertise, but do you know if an actor can write off orthodontic treatment as a business expense? Do you have any idea? If you don't, it's okay.
Yeah,
this you're not a tax accountant.
You know, I'm not sure. I'd have to get back to you on that one. About I think the best person to answer that would be their CPA.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, if they would need a letter from either their director or their orthodontist about how important it is. You know, I assume like their wardrobe is.
Yeah.
So I would be able to. I'd be happy to authorize
write
that.
A letter. Make a case for it, and I am not a tax accountant either. I am not a CPA, but I'm just sort of thinking out loud. It seems like a necessary thing for someone who's on camera to have their smile in working order. So I don't know. All right, that's something we need to look into.
Yes.
Maybe I should be. I'll get a CPA on here next month. So, what about do it yourself? I have heard something recently about do it yourself orthodontics, like mail order orthodontics. That sounds a little bit dicey. What do you know about that?
Well, you bring up a really interesting point. There are a couple things that are going on nowadays that have become in vogue. Nowadays, you know, kids will post on YouTube of videos of how to straighten their own teeth, either with a paper clip or something as rudimentary as a rubber band.
No, are you serious?
Yes, and you know what? The interesting thing is that we do use rubber bands sometimes in our office. Those little rubber band elastics, they allow us to correct the overbite when used correctly and appropriately. So it's very similar to the fact that if you have a tool, when it's used properly, it can help you. But when it's used improperly by uneducated non-specialists, it will hurt their smile. So we've seen cases of people that have tried to close a little bit of space in between their two front teeth, and they'll try to wrap a rubber band around it. What happens is that let's say they do it overnight, and then they don't see the rubber band anymore, and so they think, oh, okay, well, the rubber band came off. And actually what happened, the rubber band can slowly creep up the teeth and go under the gums.
Oh.
Once it does that, it can cause severe bone resorption and even lead to loss of teeth. So instead of closing that space, now they're having to deal with the whole space of a tooth that's lost, which is just terrible, and it's happened out there. So I would highly advise not to go that route, and if parents see their kids doing that, it's very important just to bring it to their attention and see an orthodontist, because you don't need a referral to see an orthodontist. You can call, you can find one, you know, if you're in California, you can go to caortho.org and find an orthodontist and have them and get their expert opinion on it. Another trend that is we've seen is patients that do it yourself, so they'll take some impressions and send it into a company, which will make trays for them or make some kind of orthodontic appliance. And we don't encourage that because they're not seen on a regularly follow-up by an orthodontist. Now, there are some patients that I will see, you know, maybe every 6 weeks or so, but they're under my direction, and I'm seeing them with the proper planning before and then following up appropriately. And then with my patients, I follow up in the beginning, throughout treatment, and at the end, and then we continue to get their smile to the end game. When you do it mail order, you're kind of left on your own without any follow-up. And we've seen also some really bad side effects of doing it on your own, even patients that have had lost teeth mm-hmm. because of it. So we advise seeing if you need orthodontic treatment, you see an orthodontist. If you want to move your teeth, you see an orthodontist.
That sounds good to me. I mean, honestly, I'm a big fan of the sort of idea of do-it-yourself. I'm someone who likes to, you know, if I can do something myself, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm very independent, and I also like the idea of saving money, but this seems like one area where that is just probably not a good choice to make because it's your teeth.
Right. You know? You know, if you're buying a commodity, you're buying contacts, you're buying shoes, go ahead, do it online.
Yeah,
but if you're moving your teeth, you know, you're medically moving your teeth with the biology of the tooth movement, it needs to be under direct supervision of an orthodontist.
So, well, maybe one of the things that brings people to the do-it-yourself option that makes them feel like that might be something that they need to do is concern about cost. We haven't talked about cost at all today. Do you have anything to say about that?
You know, I think you're right that motivating factor, you mentioned the DIY, that spirit that people have to kind of conquer things themselves, and then added to what they perceive might be the overbearing cost of orthodontic treatment. But what I know and from what all my colleagues are doing nowadays is that we make treatment affordable for the patients. You know, I grew up in a family of one of 11 children, and my own experience in the orthodontist is what actually led me to become an orthodontist, because I saw the change that it had, and all some of my brothers and sisters had teeth taken out, some had some overbite problems, some had a narrow jaw, and so my orthodontist custom made a smile for each one of them, and I saw that, and I was like, you know, this is really cool, and that I'd love to do that for a living. But the point is that my parents made a stretch to make it a priority for us. And so I appreciate that. I have patients in my neighborhood that come from large families, or we have patients that come from small families, and everyone has their own economic concerns. I have a budget, we all have budgets, and we want to make it work. So what I do is I focus on making it work on a monthly basis for my patients. So we'll split the payments up for them, because it's not about necessarily the fee. We charge a fair fee. We don't charge more than it. We don't charge less than it because of the service that we provide. But allowing it to be affordable on a monthly fee gives them the opportunity to break it up. And we're fairly flexible with it. There are other financing options that I know other orthodontists do. So you can do a third-party financing. But most orthodontists will be accommodating. And if you express those concerns to an orthodontist, then and their staff, they'll usually be able to come up with something that works for you. Because in the end, I want patients to choose where they're comfortable and not necessarily the cheapest, because there's always someone cheaper, but we want them to understand the value in it, and we're not overcharging, and we work with them the flexibility. Sometimes we can extend the payments longer so that for their convenience, maybe their treatment might take a year, but we can say, Mom, you know what? We'd be happy to extend the payments for 2 years in order to break it down, so in a sense it becomes a smaller nut to crack. Especially moms on budgets, or any patient on a budget, it makes it more feasible.
That's huge. So it sounds like many orthodontists are willing to be flexible with payments so that it can work, find a sweet spot where it's doable.
Exactly, because our priority is the patient first.
I love that. What does it mean to be a member of an association like the California Association of Orthodontists?
It's a great question. So as a member of the California Association of Orthodontists, we are a member of a local organization, which is regional, and then also the state, so California, and then also as the greater national organization called American Association of Orthodontists.
American Association of Orthodontists. Okay, cool.
And that's the AAO. And so with all that, we are able to have a really great support system, a nice amount of resources, and mostly it's education. So we have a support system within other orthodontists that we can talk about cases and be able to help our colleagues. Very often we also have patients that transfer from one state to another or from one region to another, and through the organization allows us to keep the communication open and helps set our standards of those transfers so that patients know where at what point of treatment they're in, and it's kind of setting a nice standard for communication. In addition, through those organizations, they and the CAO in specific, we have wonderful meetings that help us stay on top of the current trends in the profession so that we are practicing at the highest level and offering the best services to our patients, and the California Association of Orthodontists helps us do that.
That is cool. Well, that's in perfect alignment with what I'm up to, because everything I'm doing is about education, and I honestly believe with every fiber that the more educated you are, the better choices you can make. And that's exactly true. That's true for everybody, regardless of what the subject is. So I love that. Any final advice for performers of any age who need orthodontic treatment, but they're worried about how it might affect their career?
I think that the most important thing is that they're confident about their smile. If they feel that they would feel more confident because of improving their smile, then go seek that. And if you feel confident because you have a gorgeous smile, the smile is not the only thing. It's one component of the overall presentation of the human. Often I'll say to my patients that they're already presentable. They're already beautiful. We're enhancing one part of what makes their whole presence. And on screen, that's also just one part of it. It's the way they hold themselves, the confidence, the enunciation, like we've spoken about, the clarity of the conveying a message, of taking on a role of a character and performing that. And I think it's a wonderful career. And sometimes it leads to wanting to have an awesome smile to go along with it, to improve it. And so very often I ask the patient, what brings you here? And if they feel that giving them a more confident smile will help them in the career, then we have all the tools that we can to provide it. And sometimes, it's smaller things that don't need to get done. And I say, you have a great smile. This would be up to you. It's more an option. And sometimes, the patient may not be aesthetically driven, but I can tell them from the medical side, saying that there are improvements in the bite that need to get done. So, sometimes we have those kids that come in, they have really perfect straight adult teeth, maybe the four front teeth that are in. But when we take the x-ray, we can see that there are some really weird things going on. So it can cut both ways, meaning the aesthetics might not be a concern for mom, but the medical side, the functional side, the health side, when it's presented, becomes the concern.
Yeah.
And so, I try to focus on listening to the patients, but for them to find an orthodontist that listens to them, but also to express their concerns and maybe some of their apprehension and their goals about treatment and being clear. So if you explain to your orthodontist about what the goals are and then why you want treatment, and he or she can explain to you what the opportunities are and what are the available options, and then making that decision together for both the health and the function and the great aesthetics of the smile.
That's wonderful. Well, I can't think of anything else that I wish we'd had more about 10 years ago. And it's so great to hear that these options are available for actors of any age and their families today. Dovi, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Before you go, where can people find you?
Okay, great. So we have a lot of fun online. On social media, you can find us at Prero Orthodontics. Now, the name Prero is hard to spell, so I usually use the jingle, P-R-E-R-O. So it's Prero Orthodontics. And there they can see some of our patients that have been kind enough to share about their experiences often do it there. And that's a great way to interact us, direct message us there. That's just fine. Or they can learn more information about us on our website, drprero.com. That's D-R-P-R-E-R-O. Or email us at info@drprero.com. That one goes to me directly, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. And even if people are not in my area, I'd be happy to send them to a colleague that can appreciate their concerns and get them the smile that they'd love.
Yeah, maybe a member of the AAO if they're outside of California. And then orthodontists certified by the California Association of Orthodontics.
Yeah, the way they go, they would go to caortho.org.
Okay.
Then you can find a member of the California Association of Orthodontists, that someone who's part of that membership, that colleagues, and those educational opportunities. It'll mean that they have the stamp of the organization behind them.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dovi, for taking the time to talk to us today.
It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you like what you heard here, please subscribe. It's free. Go to my website, hollywoodparentsguide.com, and click on the subscribe button. You'll get weekly podcasts and blog posts delivered right to your inbox that will educate and inspire you. And if you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. Or for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to hollywoodparentsguide.com and click on the consultation page. For the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.